covenants and major decisions and how important they are, and that they rolled the oak. They rolled the rock over by the oak tree. If they rolled the oak, that'd be impressive. And by the temple, and to remind them of the decisions they made. And it's, we talk about making big decisions, and several of you said you're making big decisions. I put no weight in trying anymore. I'm going to try. I just say, okay, that means no. It just after a week or two. I mean, that, try means you'll do it for about a week. And that's what it means. You either decide to do something and you do it, or you don't. We talked about you don't decide every Sunday if you're going to church. You decide to go to church. And there's a big difference there. And so I want you to remember the whatever decision the Lord spoke to you about. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Acts. I'm going to talk about next week's lesson is something Acts 11, by the way. I'm really interested in the concept of next week's lesson. But in order to get the next week's lesson, we want to lay a foundation this week. And it's very very important subject. I want to talk about why be good with your money. Why be good with your money? And this is the first lesson on that. And first reason is so you can give. I'll hit on a couple of other things, but why be good with your money? Acts 11 and verse 25. It says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples are called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days, the prophets came from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Let's pray. We'll start here, and we'll be kind of all over the Bible today. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts with your word. I pray we'd understand your way of thinking about the subject of money and the subject of handling it well. Lord, we need your discernment. Lord, we many times think very much in a secular way about money. Many Christians do, and in different ways, not just in greed, but in how they handle it. And Lord, we just pray we'd have your mindset. You give us a lot of information about it. And I pray you'd help us to see what you say and what you think, and help us to act accordingly, Father, and bless in a powerful way as we try to learn your word, and may your Spirit speak, and may we just hear from heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are people who say, shouldn't talk about money in church. Well, if that's true, there's a whole bunch of the Bible you can't talk about. Because a whole bunch of the Bible, do you know Jesus talked more about money than heaven? And a whole bunch of the Bible is about money. And don't misunderstand me. I don't believe in prosperity gospel. I don't think that it's all about money. But there are a bunch of principles in the Bible, and money is very important, not because money is important, but because it's important how you handle it. It's a big test of who you are. And money can control you and destroy you if you don't handle it properly. And so there's a lot of important principles there. Many times people who do not like to hear about money are people who aren't good with money. Almost anybody would complain and say, "I don't think you should talk about money in church," they're broke. Just like the person who doesn't pray, doesn't they? "I don't think you should talk about prayer." Person who listens to bad music says, "I don't think music has anything to do with anything." That's just kind of our nature. Whatever we don't do well, we kind of think shouldn't talk about that. And that's kind of the way we are. And it is not the will of God that you mishandle money. It's very important. The phrase here I want to out of this particular passage, and we're going to be all over. So if you can't find the books quickly, don't try to turn every passage. I'll read them to you. But that one church is going to send money to another church. Antioch is going to send money to Jerusalem. Okay, this is an important thing, and also the Corinthian church is supposed to do it later. We found out 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they're supposed to send money to Jerusalem because the church was very poor there. And it said they did. They decided to send the money. And how do they send it? Verse 28, "And there stood up one of them named Agabus, was signified by the Spirit." So God's saying you should do this. "There's going to be a great dearth, a great depression, throughout the whole world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples determined every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which be in Judea. They sent according to their ability, according to how much money they had. That's what that means. Some were able to send more, and some were able to send less. And by the way, something is wrong with you if you do not wish you could give more. Okay, something's wrong. I think every Christian should say, I've given as much as I should, and I wish I had more, but I just shouldn't give any more. I just can't. I think that's the way our mindset should be. So everyone is able to give according to their ability, and so that's what they had, and so that's what they could give. Acts chapter 20 and verse 34. It says this, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Paul's saying, hey, I worked here with my hands. I wasn't a burden on you. I paid my own way. Ministered my necessities unto them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. He said, you know, you ought to work so you can go and help the needy and poor people. Okay? That's why you ought to work. You ought to labor with your hands. You ought to be able to provide and help other people. And I said, it's very important. You never become a person who is a taker, not a giver. Okay? There might be a moment in your life. And I want to reiterate this. I talked about this about 3 weeks ago. You should not be a person who lives your life getting. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, I want to say this, even if you get right now, I'm in a trouble, I'm disabled, I'm getting, okay, you should take some of what you get and give. Everybody should be a giver. Amen? It's more blessed to give than receive. He says, hey, I worked and you all had to work like this so you can go and support the needy. Well, I'm the poor and needy. Okay, get that fixed. Okay, I don't mind that. Fine, be poor and needy for a while and then get it fixed and then go help people. Do not be a person who is just going to lay there and let everything come to you and everybody take care of you and it always come to you. You need to be a giver. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. And by the way, you'll feel a lot better. Your health will be a lot better. The most miserable way you can get is laying around all day. Makes you miserable. You want to be a giver. And so we realize these principles here, and they wanted to give to the other churches. They wanted to give. They gave according to what they had. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, I want to preface this. We know that we are not supposed to be greedy, and it's great just to have provision, okay? Famous verses, 1 Timothy, let me read you to him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, read these verses to you. 1 Timothy 6 talks about money, a decent amount. Don't want you to misunderstand, we are not supposed to be greedy, and if all you have is provision today, the people that I was with in Haiti 2 months ago, they were glad to just have daily provision. By the way, they gave still. People in the Philippines 3 months ago, willing to give. They give more sacrificially than Americans by far. I can go in an American's house and them never feed me, trust me. I can't go in a Filipino's house and them not feed me. I can't go in a Haitian house and they do not feed me. And by the way, they're giving me the last of their food. But they aren't so self-centered and so... It's good to have just provision, but you still want to be a giver. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I don't want you to be a person who thinks you have to have a BMW and 3 cars, and I don't know how 2 people have 3 cars, how you only drive one at once. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to ride one bike and, you know, steer the other bike, but I haven't figured out how to do that with cars. And so you can only have one at a time, and so... but you have a 6-car garage for a couple and 1 kid, and you don't need all that. I'm not saying you're trying to be wealthy. Listen, if we just have enough to get by, if we have food and raiment, it says here, be content. But and we understand that. We're not talking about being greedy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. By the way, it's characteristic of false prophets. Always False prophets say that gain is godliness. That if you're going to get rich if you serve God, if they say that, run. Okay? We're not going to say that tonight. We don't believe that. The Bible didn't say that. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head, but he was pretty godly. Okay? However, false prophets, it says do that. Okay? And then it says, supposing the gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be content. Verse 7, where we can carry nothing out. We'll get back to that a little bit later. Having food and raiment, let us there be content. You should be happy with food and raiment. I want to define raiment. Raiment in the Bible means covering. Okay, that's the word literally means. Covering is generally clothing, but this is a Middle Eastern society. If all you had is covering and no shelter, and you were in, Siberia, you would not be able to be content. Okay, you have to have housing. So basically, if you're sheltered, you can stay warm, and you can eat, you're good. And that's fine. Anything else is bonus. Okay? And I want to understand, we believe that. That's what the Bible says. We should keep God's kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We're not talking about being greedy. We're seeking God's kingdom first. We do not want to get a bunch so we can have a bunch for ourselves. We want to seek God's kingdom first. And as you might do well with your money and handle your money well and prosper, you have to be extremely careful not to fall in love with money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is very dangerous. I personally know myself well enough, I would not want to have a lot of money. I'm in no danger. I would not do well with a lot of money. Now, a lot of people are more confident than I am. Maybe they're more spiritual than I am. They could do fine with a lot of money. I would not do well with a lot of money. I'd start spoiling myself. My flesh would begin to get a lot of control in my life. I would do what most people with money do, is get very spoiled. Okay, not very spiritual. It's very hard to be wealthy and spiritual. So seek God's kingdom first. So how do you know if your money is getting too important? How do you know if money, love of money, that it says later in this chapter, is root of all evil and all these things? How do you keep away from that? Just two things that are safety valves. It's not the lesson tonight. Number one, can you give it all away at any time? It's the first thing to ask yourself. Well, no, God would never ask me to give all this away. I work so hard for it. You're too attached. You're too attached. You should want to give your house away, your car away, your clothes away, your money, your bank account, your 401k, your wife. No, not your wife. I just want to see if you're awake here. You should be willing to give away anything at any time outside your family. So you should be willing. That is a test. If you ever say, but no, I've saved for all these years to get this, and now I don't. You might say, I don't want to give that away, but I'm willing. That's fine. But when you say, you know what? No, this is too important. That's my 401k. You're too attached. Okay? Anything that you get too attached to. That's the first check. And second, I want to say, you need to find out if you're tithing and giving when you're poor. I want to tell you, the devil's lied to you, heard it and seen it 1,000 times. Always true. If you're not faithful in that which is least, you'll not be made faithful in much. If somebody doesn't have any money, they do not tithe, and they do not handle their money godly, and then they get a bunch of money, they say, well, as soon as I win the lottery, I'm going to give so much to God. You will do exactly what you do when you're poor. That's what you'll do. If you don't tithe, oh, if I had $1 million in the bank, I'd tithe. No, you won't. You won't. You do exactly, your character is what you are. Okay, you do what you do, whether you have a little or a lot. Do not ask God for money if you're not faithful. And I'll show you in Luke 16. Do not ask God for money if you're not faithful with the money he's given you. If you got $1.50 and it's all in your ashtray of your car, and that's all you got, maybe $1.75 if you dig under the seats, and you don't tithe on that when it came in, you're not going to tithe when you get $1 million. And don't tell me that's why I go to the casino. No, you get a casino because you have a sinful nature and you're being foolish with your money and you're squandering your wages. That's why you go there. Okay, and so that's why you're doing that. And also, you go and you waste your money. Now you'll waste your money then. It does not matter how much you get. I have a friend. I don't know if I told this in church. I have a friend who in their small town in the country, they got a casino, and one of his families in the church was related by marriage to a family in this who was part of the tribe. Everybody in this tribe got $10,000 to $12,000 a month for being alive and letting them build a casino on their land. $10,000 to $12,000 every month. How many can get by with $10,000 to $12,000 a month? Okay, you can get by with that. Okay. They got $10,000 to $12,000 a month. Family in the church was just a regular family, scrimped by, lived carefully, had kids and paid their things. The family that got $10,000 to $12,000 a month came at the end of every other month probably and said, listen, you know, on the first, we're going to get $10,000 with a payback right then. Can I get, can you give us $1,000 to get by for the rest of the month? That was the same way they were before the casino opened. That's who they were. And if they win the lottery and get $1,000,000, they'll be broke. It's who they are. When I was in Bible college, the same guys were always financially withdrawn, and the same guys were never financially withdrawn. Didn't matter their job situation. It didn't matter. Certain guys would find a way to pay their bills, and certain guys would find a way not to. By the way, the guys who would pay their bills always found a way to find a job. And the guys who didn't always seemed to say there's no jobs out there. How we doing? All right. So you find out if you're the widow gave all that she had when she was flat broke. Right? Well, you shouldn't expect somebody to give when they don't have any money. Jesus did. He praised them. Tell Jesus. Get mad at him. He was good with it. It's a lot easier to give when you don't have much. So why do we want to be good with our money? First of all, to provide for our families, of course. 1 Timothy, we're here, chapter 5, and verse 8. But if any provideth not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. That is a verse that I don't understand the why of it. Why are you worse than a person who says Jesus isn't God and denies Jesus Christ? You're worse than that if you don't provide for your family. I don't exactly know the reason that God says you're worse, but he does. You're worse than a person who denies Christ if you don't provide for your family. That's pretty strong. That's what he says. So first of all, you want to be good with your money so you can provide for your family. Next, why do you want to be good with your money? Because being able to give is a huge blessing. Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm going to take it to Philippians chapter 4. Because it's great, it's a blessing to be able to give. You don't have any money, you can't give very much. Again, should you try to be rich? No. Should you live for money? No. I'll give you verses on that in a sec. And let me read this verse in Philippians 4, and I'll show you some verses on that. It says in Philippians chapter 4, watch how blessed you get if you give. Watch how much God gives you. Watch what God does for those who are givers. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. You gave when I was in trouble. Paul talking to the Philippian church. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When you give, you get fruit to your account. Okay? We'll show you where that account is. It's not at Chase. It's not Bank of America. It's not Wells Fargo. I wish it went in there too, but it doesn't. And it says, but you're going to get fruit in your account. But I have all and abound and am full and have received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Your giving was an offering, a sacrifice, and that is well-pleasing to God. That's why you want to be able to give. Now the promise, verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We find out in 2 Corinthians, they gave out of their extreme poverty, it says. But givers are promised provision. Not everybody, not every Christian is promised provision. Givers and people who seek God's kingdom first are guaranteed supernatural provision. Do you see that? God's putting fruit in your account. God is well pleased with you, and God will supply your needs. It's a blessing to be able to give. You want to be able to give. Now, I didn't turn there, but Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. It's a command of God. Labor not to be rich. But there's nothing wrong with earning some money so you can give it to the poor. You become a channel through which money flows. You become a blessing. Let me illustrate. This is our church. Our church, we're in a very wealthy area. Seattle's, again, the fastest growing city in America. And we have big companies around here who pay people a lot of money. And so we're in a fairly rich area. We're in one of the richest counties in America. There's 75,000 millionaires in this county, okay? None of them go here. And so we have all those. We have wealth in this area. We stayed in a junky building. A junky building. Amen. I'm in a junky building for a very long time. You know why? $400 a month rent. That's why. And we stayed in it, and we stayed in it, and we stayed in it, and stayed in it. You say, how long would you have stayed in it? Well, when the roof collapsed, it was time to move. Okay? When the roof collapsed. But you know, we stayed in that $400 a month. And you know what? We put aside some money. I saw in 2008 the economy was going to collapse. We started being very careful to put money aside. We were very careful with our money, and we got ahead pretty far for a church our size. And then the economy collapsed. And you know what most churches were doing? What are we going to do? We don't got a dime in the bank. Our people got laid off. Our tithes went down. They're in big trouble. Did you know what we're able to do during that time besides pay our bills? Keep a lot of churches from losing their buildings. Pastors who couldn't get paid from their church were able to send them money. Now it's all gone now. But you know, for 5 years we've been providing for churches. Did we save that money so we get a rich church? Mm-mm. Never had an office in all that time? Never. We never had anything nice? We drove junky old vehicles to pick people up. And did all, you know why we did that? Not so we could be fancy and rich and have a bunch of money, so we can help people. A bunch of our people, we kept their utilities on. We kept them from being evicted. We helped pay for some food. The reason you say, wow, you should never have money saved in the bank. No, I'm glad I did. I'm glad the church was run that way. We moved to this building and quadrupled our rent. And since then, it's gone more up, okay? We're able to handle that during that time. Why? Because, and by the way, expanded the other half of the building and add money for that too. Why? Because we were good with our money. That's it. So you can help somebody. So you can help somebody. Now, don't just, well, being able to give is a huge blessing. I'm not just saying that because we can say we're so great. There's so many promises to givers. Given it shall be given unto you. Good, Luke 6:38. Get pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, shall men give to your bosom freely. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. The same amount, in the same way God gives it to you. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You can get a great blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or in a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You're going to have all you need because you're a giver. As it is written, he that disperseth abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. It's a blessing to give because when you give, you'll get fruit in an eternal account. Okay, let's look at Luke 16. Why is it so blessed to give? Because your money becomes eternal. Luke 16. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We'll see if we'll get back to it. I think we'll get back to it later. Luke 16, 9. And I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that's die, they, your money, may receive you into everlasting habitations. Your money becomes eternal. Isn't that great? You know, most people, their money is lucky to make it to the end of the month. But make your money eternal. What a blessing. It's more blessed to give than just roast it up on nothing. People, and boy, next week, you got to hear next week's message about, I'm not going to tell because it's too good. Your money gets burnt up if you don't give it. Okay, so it's good to give. It's blessed. It becomes eternal. Let's go to Proverbs 28, and we'll spend some more time in Proverbs now. Proverbs 28. It's awesome to give because giving's awesome and because you want to have something to give. Proverbs 28. And tithing, of course, you always do, but it's nice to be able to give above and beyond. It's nice to be able to do a $20 handshake to somebody who's struggling. You know, $20. Who has a $20 bill? You have one, Mark? Oh, okay. You have one? Okay. Pull it out. All right. We're going to show you what a $20 handshake is. Okay. Put it in your hand. All right. This is $20 handshake. No. Put it in your hand. There you go. Nobody knows it. Ready? Watch. Do it. Ready? $20 handshake. All right. That's what you do. You sit down. And he should know better than that. Oh, you can have it back. You're going to take it back? I can't believe that. Okay. You can have You can give a $20 handshake to your pastor and not take it back. You can give a $20 handshake to somebody in need. When you have money to give, it's a blessing. It's a blessing if you handle your money well. It's worth earning in order to be a blessing. Let me say in Proverbs, because I'm going to read some verses out of there. Let me read you a verse out of Ephesians. You want to be good with your money so you have money to give. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. There it is. If you're a thief, quit stealing, work with your hands, and now you'll have money to give people who need. It's a blessing to handle your money well, so you have something to give. Okay, that's a good thing. Okay. And so we see that. Proverbs 28 and verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So it's a blessing to give. So first of all, we said we want to do it to provide for our family, but then we want to be able to give because it's a huge blessing to give. Next, we want to be good with our money because all over the Bible, wasting money is negative and carefulness is positive. All over the Bible, God condemns those who waste their money and shows positive things about people who handle their money well. Let's go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. The substance of a diligent man is precious. Why? Because carefulness and handling money well is always positive in the Bible. And the person who's slothful will kill something and he won't even roast all the food. He'll just let it rot. Why? Because he's not careful with what he has. It's part of the character that makes someone poor. It is part of the character to make someone poor. Now, we have lots of poor people in our church, always. And we're glad to have them, and we're in the poor areas, and we give people rides to church. We have 4 vehicles to give people rides to church. We're glad to do it. We help people all the time, and we're glad to do it. But most people are in America, and especially in an area like this, are poor for a reason. I want to say this. If you get the government to pay for your housing and your electricity and your food, you ought to have some money to burn somewhere. Because you don't have any bills. I mean, you'll have maybe insurance and gas if you have a car, but you ought to put money away until you can get out of that. Why? Because you're not paying all those. You're not paying $4,000 a month for all that stuff. We people live in poverty because of choices. Listen, it's been too many years in poor areas. I've been there. I've been poor. Okay? I've been in too many poor areas, and I've walked up there and taken food and fed them and brought them food to their house and stepped over a giant thing full of cigarette butts. Cigarettes aren't cheap. If your kids don't have food, you shouldn't be buying an $8 pack of cigarettes every day. I've lived on much less than $8 a day with the family. Much less. Okay? I first got married, $15 a week was our budget, if we got that much. You should not, oh, why is God not supplying my need? You smoked your provision away. You drank your, why is there empty beer cans in front of your house and your power is getting turned off? And why do you got a big screen? Goodness sake. You got an 800. Well, I didn't buy it. I went to the rental place and I'm renting to own it. You're going to pay $3,000 for a $1,000 TV, first of all. Meet me next week when we talk about that. Okay? Secondly, you shouldn't have a big screen if you don't have money. If your pastor grunts when he carries it for you, it's too big, okay? They don't have heavy anymore. Boy, you people never will carry a heavy TV. The old TVs, man, you, in a nuclear blast, you could hide behind that thing, you're fine. And those things. This big a screen, this big a TV. And, but, listen. I don't know how I'm going to pay bills this month. You got a big screen, sell it. Well, what will we do? You would spend time together. You might read your Bible this week. How we doing? Oh, man. I'm going to get some enemies by the time this is done. You should not. People are poor for a reason. I was telling someone the other day, I said, if I needed money, I would just walk out of the church. If I didn't have food for my family, I had money for my family, I'd walk out of the church, I'd walk in this neighborhood down here, I'd go to every house and say, listen, I'm broke, I have a family. Can I do anything in your house, in your driveway, your gutters, anything? I said I'd make $100 for the other day just doing that. Just doing that. I'd walk up every business. I'd say, listen, I'll be the best worker. I've got to provide for my family. I'll be the best worker you ever had. Please hire me. I'd have a job by the end of the day. I would just be desperate. Not, no, there's nothing to do out there. I don't know what to do. Blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to get somebody mad. Is anybody mad yet? And you already took my 20. I'm already mad at you. All of our Bible, wasting money is negative, and carefulness is positive. Look, let's turn to Luke. Oh, I don't want to get a Proverbs. Keep your finger in Proverbs. Let's go to Luke. I got to hurry. I'm already in trouble. Please realize that God condemns wastefulness and not handling your money well and being bad with what God's given you and not being a good steward. There's so many principles here. I won't be able to get to all them. Luke 14. Verse 28. I'm just going to show you how the Bible just has a tone of being bad with your money is bad, not planning well is bad, and being a good planner and a good investor and a wise steward is good. It's all over. We're just going to give you a bunch of principles of that. Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after you had laid the foundation be not able to finish it, and all that behold him begin to mock him. Do you realize that somebody didn't plan their money well and they're getting mocked? Okay, it's just principles all over the Bible. It's all over the place. And you kept your, let's see, kept your finger in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 6. A couple ways to be good with your money are, first of all, planning ahead. We talked about that with the illustration of the church there. Planning ahead. Verse 6, Proverbs 6, 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in harvest. Why? Because there's no winter's coming and they can't gather food. See, I already have it laid aside. Now, let me differentiate very carefully, because the Bible does it very carefully. Lay not up for yourself, Matthew 6, treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And so you're not supposed to lay up for your treasures on earth. Remember we read verse 7 earlier in 1 Timothy 6. Don't be hoarding money, okay? But two things you ought to do with your money is, one, you ought to put some away to give, and you ought to put some away for bad times. Okay? It's a biblical principle. I'm not going to turn it in reverse. How about, Pharaoh, you got 7 fat cows and 7 lean cows. You know that story? So for 7 years, put aside a bunch of food. Now listen to me. I have heard it for so long. People, and we've all done it sometime in our life, who said, I made so much money in this period of time, and I have nothing to show for it. Somebody will make over a year, all of a sudden, they'll have a great year, and they'll make 100 grand. And 2 years later, they drive a 5-year-old junker, a 15-year-old junker, 5-year-old, I wish, and a 15-year-old junker, and they're living in a little dumpy apartment and scraping by. Did you know that year you made $100,000, if you had to handle that money well, you could cushion into this hard time? And you wouldn't be getting jump-started every time you have to start your car? But you blew it because you figured it would always be there. That is foolish. It's foolish. People who are good at their money do not know what's coming. You don't know if we're going to be in a depression in 2 years. You don't know that you're going to lose your health. You don't know these things. So you have a cushion. You don't know if your transmission is going to go out. Transmissions are not $500 anymore. They're $3,000. Okay? You don't know if your transmission is going to blow. What's it have a credit card for? No. It is not free because you charged it. You have to pay it back with interest. So what you do is you put money aside. You get an emergency fund. You lay it aside because God says that's wise to do. And secondly, I think you invest well. I think you invest well. Investing's all over the Bible. And again, you do, why? Because you might not be able to work at 60. Hope you can. But if you invest well, and there's lots of, let's see, we're in Proverbs. Let's see if we can read something else. Nope, let's keep your finger in Proverbs. Go to Matthew 25. And I'm not going to read the whole parable, but the parable of talents. I'll tell you the story, read a couple of verses. He says, he gave to all these people talents. He gave one 10, one 5, one 3, and he gives them all these different groups of talents. And one, and the one who had 10 invested it and doubled it. The one who had 5 doubled it. The one who had 1 hit it and still had 1. Listen to me. If you do not increase your money, you lose your money because of a thing called inflation. Okay? You lose money. You do not have to have a huge return. You just understand you have to beat inflation at least. Because if you invest decently, you'll kill inflation. But you need to handle your money well. And he says, and so in Matthew 25, let me find, let's see, verse 23, you said, "And well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things." Remember that principle with how you handle your money. And so the one in verse 24, he which received the one talent, remember, he just had one. Well, it's not that much. No, everything God gives you is got to be handled well. Amen. And he said, "Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, and you reap where you don't sow, and you gathered where you have not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth and came and here it is." And he said, "You wicked and slothful servant, I expected more. You could have at least put it and invested it and got a little bit back of interest. The other guy's doubled it, but I don't need that. Just Why? Because investing your money and putting it in a good place and handling it well is very good. It's very important. We see it in a lot of places in the Bible. Look at Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman is going to talk about how she handles money. And she invests it and she handles it well. Proverbs 31. And by the way, thank God for a virtuous wife. Boy, you can get you the person you marry can help you so much financially and, or mess you up. Proverbs 31. I thank God for my wife. What a blessing. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to them, to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. And then with the field, she puts a fruit in there and planteth vineyard. Why? She's investing. She's going to grow back and pay for the field, buy the crops that grow on it. She invests. It's interesting that about her, look what she does. Verse 20, she stretcheth forth her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She helps people. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She already has clothes ready for the winter. So if it snows, she says, okay, I got winter clothes. Why? She prepares, like the ant. She plans ahead of time. There's a lot of ways to do that. I can't teach all the ways to do that. I think every man should have life insurance or a lot of money laid aside. Because when you die, you got to provide for your own. Okay? 10 times your annual income is a good number. You got to have a lot of money laid aside. Pay off your house. That's not a burden. Do all those things. All those things are good. Let's go back to Luke 16. Let's go to Luke 16. We'll finish up. Handle your money well, because God associates handling money well with spirituality and foolishness, with the slothfulness and bad things. Handle what God gives you. If it's a buck, handle it well. Say, Lord, you gave me a dollar. I'm going to handle this dollar well. And don't act like you're spiritual because you mishandle your money, don't work enough hours, and because you're poor. Oh, God just made me be poor. No. Don't blame God. If you burn up all your money on video games and eating out and fast food and Starbucks, and then you say, oh, God, provide for me. You plan. Luke 16. And verse 9, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. And you know what? I'm going to go back to verse 9. And I say unto you, make yourselves friends the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. What's the context? Money. Handle, make yourselves friends. Money should be your friend. Why? Use it to help people. It's a blessing. It pays your bills. It supplies for your family. Make yourselves friends. Why? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? God's testing, the last thing I want to say, is God tests you with money. Money is very powerful. If you cannot handle money, God cannot give you greater riches. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual power, influence, blessings from God. God says, hey, I saw you handle that powerful thing called money, which is the root of all evil, and people love it. And it ruins life and helps people and feeds people. I test you with that, and you didn't handle that very well. I can't trust you with very much. Why don't I just keep the blessings from you? Because I can't trust you. You aren't good with money. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, verse 11, who will commit to your trust true riches? If you have not been faithful with that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, love the one, hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Look, one reason to be good with money is because God tests you with money. God gives you a bunch of money. You quit serving the Lord. You get greedy. You forget about God because you have all you want. You have more. You get a good job, and all of a sudden, to make more money, you're going to work through church. Well, you know, now I have this car payment because I bought this car because I made this money. Do not spend it all. If you start making more money, don't change your budget until you get way ahead. Just because you landed a job that gives you a better income doesn't mean you need a $400 car payment now. Drive your junker until it's a Flintstones car and your feet are on the ground. For those older people who know what Flintstones are. And save. And then buy a car with cash. Listen, just because you make more money doesn't mean you have to spend it all. There's no rule that says everything I make, I have to spend. Hurry, what can I get? We need another big screen. Let's give them those TVs with a big screen on it. Let's get another big screen. Stop. You're going to blow it all, and then all of a sudden you get laid off and say, what am I going to do? You're going to sell all your big screens, first of all, and you're going to get half what you paid for them. But you know what? And you're going to... And you already got a cell phone that works, and you need a newer version 7. And then you drop in the toilet. And you don't have insurance. And now you're back to your flip phone. And you have $500, $600. I don't know how much it's. I don't know. I have a dumb phone. I don't know how much it costs for a smartphone. Oh boy, I lost everybody in the smartphone thing. I think I'm the only person just about who doesn't have a smartphone. I'm the only smart person who doesn't have a... No, never mind. But listen, do not spend it all up just because you make more. Because God is testing many times to see how he can trust you. Save. Put it aside. Keep praying. Sell something on eBay. Find a way to invest. Handle your money well. Be careful and do all these things. And you'll find that God will bless you because that's one of those are the reasons why you should be good with money. There's a reason not to be rich so you can give. Because God's testing you so you can help people, because it's spiritual, because it's being a good steward of what God's given you, because it's awesome to provide for your family. It's good to have a cushion in an emergency. There's a lot of good reasons to handle your money well. Let's be careful with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach on your word. I thank you that you give us a lot of principles. We have a lot of verses here, Lord. We didn't read all of them, but Lord, there's a lot of principles you have about how we handle money. Help us to be generous. Help us have some money to be able to go up and help somebody who needs it. Help us have money for the emergency that'll come up, that is going to come up. Lord, help us to handle these things well. Lord, it's hard for us to do that. We live in a culture that spends billions of dollars to get us to waste our money in advertising, Lord. And everybody's doing it. But Lord, help us to realize that it is a valuable commodity. Not one to be lived for, but one to be used for you. And may we be cautious and wise and careful. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to know if God's spoken to you about how you handle your money tonight. Make yourselves friends. If you're not faithful, an unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? You could live a lot simpler, maybe. Maybe you could say, you know what, I've been spending it all up. You're right, I've been doing it. I need to stop that. Maybe you need to say, you know what, I don't have anything to give to people. I mean, I barely have enough to tithe, or maybe you don't even tithe because I'm not being good with my money. I'm not figuring out a way. Heads about, our eyes are closed. You say, you know what, God spoke to me tonight about how I handle money, and I got to change something. God spoke to me, and maybe not wicked, you're not blowing it on alcohol and cigarettes. I'm not saying that. But God spoke to you tonight about how you handle money and you need to change something. He would say, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand up tonight? God spoke to me. I need to handle my money better. I need to